there he was apologizing for taking too much of my time. You know, it would be all right with me if he'd gone first and second, Brother Gill. enjoy that so very much. You know, preachers don't get to hear other preachers enough, because I learn so much every time one of these brethren get up. He took his glasses off. Just think, in 15 years, how to look. Jen got me a super giant print Bible that we have to use. You know, Brother Gale, I was thinking when he first got up, mentioned that sometime impressions come on your mind early in the week. And those are wonderful impressions, because I think they're from the Lord. I really do. When something is pressed upon you and you really enjoy the study during the week, and about Saturday afternoon, you get this feeling, you needed that study, Don, and I know that you enjoyed it, but I've got something else for tomorrow morning. You know? And those impressions come on. You can't fight or resist that. You can't quench the spirit and go back to those other things. You must follow the lead. I've been in meetings with Brother Gale a lot lately. Problem is, they've been funerals. And that's the only time we get to visit so many times. Moses, you know, he opened so much in my mind. Moses, you know, the first thing that Moses did when he crossed the Red Sea, the very first thing, 15th chapter of the book of Exodus, the first verse, they sang a hymn of deliverance. You're talking about singing, how important prayer and singing is. 15th chapter of the book of Revelation, the third verse, Revelation, they said they sang the hymn of Moses, a hymn of deliverance, both in the Old Testament book of Exodus and the New Testament book of Revelation. I need to move on to something that is on my mind. Apostle Paul told the church at Corinth in the 14th chapter and the 15th verse that we will sing with the spirit and sing with the understanding also. We will pray with the spirit and pray with the understanding also. Prayer is a beautiful subject, and I've really enjoyed that type of study. But there's something before that. So I guess if there's a title, it's before prayer. That good, humble prayer that we heard today is an example. There's something that must occur before prayer. So if we can leave today thinking of anything when you pray, there must be something before that the Lord has commanded that we direct. Go to something, First Chronicles, what is it, 7th chapter, 14th verse, that we're very familiar with. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. Did you notice what came before prayer? Humble themselves. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray. Then you begin looking at prayer all through the Bible. You can always see where the prayer is blessed if humbleness comes first. I shouldn't say this, I guess, but I do anyway. I was sitting at a table one time in a big organizational meeting next to a chaplain. And they asked the chaplain to open with prayer. Caught him by surprise, you know. You know, so here, and he read his prayer. You've all seen that type on funerals on TV where they read the prayer. Was there any humbleness in that at all? Let's go to the 18th chapter, the book of Luke, because it starts out in the book of Luke, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men always, that ought always to pray and not faint. Always to pray. Christ is speaking here that we must always pray and not faint. Now, he's speaking parables. He gives a couple of parables here that we won't have time to get into much. It says in the 10th verse, two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a publican. I want you to think about something. Lord, I've been good all week. You know, I really have been good all week. I've done all those things that I know that you want me to do. I've been nice to people, and I really have been working hard. It's time. It's your turn now to send a blessing down to me. Can you obligate God to do anything? You know, he stood and prayed, God, I thank thee. Well, that's a good start. I thank thee. Oops, look, I want you to look at all the words I that he used. That I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. See, there's two men sitting there. I fast twice a week. See, I've been good all week. I mean, twice this week I fasted. I give tithes of all that I possess. All the I. Now, where is the humbleness before all of these things? Now, this publican was standing over in the corner. Don't you notice he was standing? By the way, humbleness does not mean that you have to bow down and those things. David prayed sitting in a chair on his throne. David prayed sitting. You know, Hezekiah over in the First Chronicles, or Second Chronicles, where Hezekiah was praying, about the 27th chapter, 29th chapter, 30th verse, right in there, said the whole congregation bowed in worship. David was sitting. This congregation bowed in worship. Here is this publican standing. You know. So we don't really have to look at. Look at this, what it said about this publican. The publican standing afar off would not even lift up as much as his eyes to heaven. Remember, Christ looked up at the tomb of Lazarus when he talked to the Father. So don't worry about, well, I need to really be humble. I need to bow down or whatever. It makes no difference. That closet that we're to enter into, I think the loneliest I have ever been is in a big old crowd, you know, where there's people all over and yet you feel by yourself. That closet can be a private place. It can be your car or in your own mind that he's talking about here. Let's look at these eyes just a little bit further. Put this eternally in this came to mind while Gail was talking. I do all these things. I tithe twice a week, you know, and I'm not a extortioner or a murderer or anything that. You know, some people take that all the way to eternal salvation. You know, look what I have done, Lord. You're obligated because I have done what you have required. Then you must save me, you know. Obligating God. Where's mercy? When you obligate God, that takes away mercy. Titus 3:5, you know, saved us and called us with a holy calling. But he, you know, it's according to mercy that he has saved us. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done. And that's what this Pharisee was talking about. But according to mercy, he has saved us. It's not because of our works in prayer that he was looking for a blessing, or our works eternally, because that always takes mercy away when we try to obligate God. 14th verse is where we're looking at. I tell you this, man, Jesus was talking about this little publican standing over in a corner, could not even lift up his eyes. I tell you, this man went down to the house justified rather than the other, for everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Not bragging on all those things that he had done, but humbled himself, and that's what the exalting is that we're talking about here. I want to go back to James just for a second, because there's so much about this. Among talking about humbling, James in the 4th chapter, the 10th verse says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. We can't lift ourselves up. Humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Peter does almost the same thing in the 5th chapter, the 6th verse of 1 Peter. It says, humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. That's his time, you know. That's not your time. You know, the fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The prayer that we pray, we think, well, you know, I've really been praying about the church, been praying about all of these things. He said he will in due time when we begin to look at those things that the Lord has done for us. I want to go back to that sixth chapter because there was a lady that went to a judge. One of the things that Christ was talking to us about went to a judge. Now, this judge was not a religious man, and he didn't care about the people. Had no care about the people. He cared about himself. And yet this lady kept coming to him asking that he make a ruling. It irritated him because she was persistent. He went ahead and granted her wish, you know, not because of his feeling toward her or what she was standing for, but because she was persistent. How much more that when we go to him in prayer and keep praying for those things, he will hear our prayer. Matter of fact, over in Isaiah, I believe it is, he says, while we are yet speaking, he answers our prayers. He answers those things, but he knows what we stand in need of before we ask. And so many times he answers those prayers. But it all is dependent upon an humble spirit. That's the 65th chapter of Isaiah that I was looking at, 24th verse. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. Did you realize he answers our prayer even before we ask so many times with that humble spirit? And while they were yet speaking, I will hear. While they're yet speaking. Right after the first thing, after the communion service, you know what they did after that? They went out into the Mount of Olives. James and John, you come with me, Christ said. And he went and they sat down and he said, I'm going to go yonder. That word yonder is biblical. I'm going to go yonder and pray. How did the Lord pray? Did you realize he laid himself flat on his face on the ground? You talk about an humble spirit. He could have done that standing. The Lord did pray standing and kneeling and other things, but here he was because he was praying for you and I. 17th chapter of John, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou gavest me, for they are thine. You belong to the Lord. Can you get the feeling that he was praying for us? If the Lord was praying for us, you think he's going to lose one of his that he was praying for? How secure we are. I was asked one time, you really believe that once saved, always saved? Well, that statement's really not that way in the Bible, but the doctrine certainly is, you know, that his children are secure. But when we go before the Lord, when we bow before him, if it's that humble spirit, I'm going to go to Psalms just for a second if it this is coming to mind. Remember Psalms because the Psalms are songs, just like our songbook. The songs of praise, and that's what the original meaning of Psalms was praises. They're songs to the Lord. And notice that each one of these songs are to the Lord, not to ourselves, not one about what we have done. Some misunderstand the very first psalm when it says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. That song is not about us, folks. What about that man? You know, who is it about? That the man is Christ himself in this psalm. And how do we know that? Nor standeth in the way of the sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Well, it would be nice if I could do that, you know, maybe a portion of that, but this man did. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Do we do that? Have you ever thought, what did the Lord think about when he was walking around on this earth? What was his thoughts? This tells us right here, he meditated day and night in the law. He was a fulfillment of all of that. That law is, we're not under law, as Brother Gale said. He fulfilled all of that, yet he meditated about that day and night. I mean, my thoughts on religious things are fleeting very quickly. Sometimes we get off on the worries of this world, and yet this man, Jesus Christ, thoughts were on the law day and night. That's 60th Psalm. It's a Psalm of David. Remember these 90th Psalms, a Psalm of Moses. There's all kinds of authors to these Psalms here. Hear my cry, O God. See, these are prayers. This Psalm is a prayer of David, and look how he stands it. Hear my prayer, O God, a very humble spirit. Attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. David, King David, you know, humbling himself, praying when he's sitting on the throne. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. I know of. That's one of my favorite verses, because we are overwhelmed. If you're never overwhelmed in this earth, you know, you're not on this earth. We are all overwhelmed. When our heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. That's what he's saying. That's hard to do too so many times. Okay, Lord, you've asked me to take it to you. Then I worry all night about it. See, those things we could control, maybe so, but don't worry about those things that we cannot control. There's blessings to nations, and there's blessings to the people, and prayer exalted the nation. But you know what? We can pray for a nation itself or for ourselves. Let's go to the 16th proverb in the 19th verse. Better it is to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoils with the proud. All through this book, so many places we're talking about that humble spirit when we pray. Even though we cannot, I've heard brethren, and you know, I've thought this way myself too. You ask someone to come offer prayer, and somebody says, you know, I really enjoy visiting with the Lord, but when I'm asked to do a public prayer, I can't remember my name, you know. All of us have experienced sometime those kind of things. Look what Paul said to the church at Rome, the 8th chapter and the 26th verse. We know not what to ask for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercessions for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. And I've thought many times, just Lord help is a beautiful prayer. Anytime you're looking at prayer with humbleness before the prayer itself, you realize the Trinity is always involved in our prayer. Always involved. The Spirit takes that prayer to the portals of heaven where Christ is sitting on the right hand of God. Christ, to the God the Father, hear this prayer. He's one of our children. He's, you know. So anytime we're talking to the Lord, it's not just that we're talking to the Father, but through the Spirit, through Christ himself. So the Trinity is always involved with those decisions that are made for us. What a beautiful thought it is for me sometimes to think we can actually talk to the Creator of this universe. Now, who am I, Lord, you know, that we're able to speak directly to the one who has all power in heaven and in earth? You know, this has been Christmas time, and we see beautiful ornaments on the trees. Hell knows where I'm going with this ornament. 1 Peter 3rd chapter 4th verse. There is an ornament talked about in the Bible. We see ornaments, beautiful ornaments on the tree, but what is the greatest, valued, highest priced ornament talked about in the Bible? It's the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. That meek and quiet spirit. Meek does not mean weak. Sometimes we hear that so many times. Oh, he's got a meek and quiet spirit. Did you realize in the sight of God that's of great price? What about Christ himself, who has all power in heaven and in earth? He says, I am meek and lowly at heart. If Christ is meek and lowly at heart, and yet all power in heaven and in earth, and he said that meek and quiet spirit is of great price. But any time that we pray, any time that we have the mind to talk to the Lord, think about our spirit first, because always in the Bible, before we offer prayer, It's always in the Bible, those prayers that are answered was from a meek and quiet spirit and an humble heart. Now, that 26th chapter of Matthew, the 39th verse, is where we were talking about when he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it would be possible, remove this from me. You know, if it would be possible," that was his desire, "yet not my will, but thine be done." Always, well, the Lord's going to answer prayer, and he's going to do it in a way. Other verses coming to my mind, but I don't want to do that. Let's go to the 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, the very last book of Paul's letter to the Thessalonians. Rejoice evermore. That's a command. This is the 5th chapter, the 16th verse says, rejoice evermore. What's he talking about here about his people when they're praying to him? You know, I mean, when the shepherds saw or was informed by that Christ was being born, there was great joy. When those wise men saw that star over the house, there was exceeding great joy. And here he's telling us to rejoice evermore. It's good news, folks, that we are listening to. Pray without ceasing. He's ending the letter to that church in Thessalonica. Pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Have you ever thought about what it might be that would be pleasing to the Lord? You know, it's our prayer. Sometime when our children, if we saw our children praying, or if our children come up to us and say, "Love you, Dad, love you, Mom," isn't that a wonderful feeling? Do you think not it's joyful to the Lord when we come to him in prayer? Our Heavenly Father, he will bless us. We have not because we ask not, you know. So why didn't he bless? Have you asked? Have you prayed? You know, sometimes we ask and have not. Why? Because we ask amiss. Most of the time, that's because there was not a humble feeling to start. If my people, that's us, folks, all his sheep, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. If this nation knew the power that God's children had, if they would humble themselves and pray, he can heal this nation's land. Pray for our president. Pray for those, and we're instructed to do that, to pray for those in places of authority. But always remember, if I can just leave that one thought, before prayer, always think about what's my attitude. Am I saying, look what I have done? Or humble yourself. Humbleness always occurs before prayer that's answered in a manner that's pleasing to his people, that's helpful to his people. Please come forward.